And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
25 to 5 on 2CC and Canberra Live until 6 o'clock. Between now and 5, we're talking finance with Luke Smith from Envision Financial. And today we're going to take a look at comparing pension accounts. Good afternoon, Luke.
How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm doing really well. We've had a crazy kind of week. Bushfires yesterday, concerts today. Who knows what's going to happen next?
Mother Nature, she must be a little emotional at the moment because we've had every spectrum on it. So, yeah.
Oh, well, that's right. You know, from over the Christmas New Year break, we had the smoke, the fires, and then last week, or earlier in the week, the hailstorms. And you don't know what to expect next. In Florida, they've got frozen iguanas falling out of the trees. Did you hear that one?
Oh, no, I hadn't, but I was going to say, anybody that's lodged an insurance application over the last 2 weeks definitely has to say they're a smoker in the ACT. They've been sucking it into the Great Lakes. So
that is true. Yes.
Special dispensation there.
Thankfully, the air has cleared up quite considerably in recent days, but it has been terrible, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Now, let's get down to business. Yep. We're talking about pension accounts. So what exactly do we mean by a pension account? How's it different from normal superannuation?
Yeah, so look, I think this is quite topical at the moment. We're finding more and more people have been coming in saying, look, I'm going to pull stumps at 30 June. What's this pension? How does it start? What is it? And what do I do with my super to get one? So I thought it was probably relevant to have a bit of a chat about, well, what is it?
Yes.
How do you get it? And then what's the difference between a pension account and superannuation, as we sort of call it along the way?
So I've kind of been assuming all this time without ever really having looked into it in any great detail. But
while you're working, you're contributing your money into a superannuation fund. But then when you retire, somehow you've got to access the money back out of that superannuation fund. And I kind of assumed when I heard the words pension account that somehow it transfers from a super account into a different account, which is now called a pension account, and the money comes out of it. Whereas before, the money was going into it.
Spot on.
There you go.
That's it. In layman's terms, that's exactly it. We spend most of our working life accumulating.
Yes.
Putting it in, be it yourself or an employer. So we call that an accumulation account. And then obviously when you turn around and say, okay, I've met my preservation age under the law, and I'm going to start an income stream, we take off our accumulation hat and we put on a pension hat. Now, in the vast number of situations with the majority of funds, there is no material change in the underlying assets.
Okay.
It is more a case of saying, right, I now want to stop putting money in and I want to, in various forms, start taking some money out.
So it doesn't have to be a whole different account. It's just going into a different phase.
Correct, and that's exactly right. And that's the term we use in our industry is you're moving to pension phase.
Okay.
So you're exactly right. Now, there are some benefits and there are some considerations that obviously you need to keep in mind, and we'll touch on some of those.
But it is fundamentally the accumulated assets that you have now drawing the income stream or capital to fund your lifestyle, be it that you've retired or you've commenced a transition to retirement situation or strategy where you may still be gainfully employed, but you want to access your accumulated super as a pension under limited circumstances.
Are there different ways that you can do that? Can you take out part of it as a lump sum because you've got bills to pay off and then keep the rest of it to fund a monthly income or a quarterly income or a biannual income? Yeah. You can make all those different choices.
Yeah, and look, that's really, really prevalent because I find a huge amount of confusion or misguided association with things like a defined benefit scheme, CSS, PSS, DFRDB or MSBS, which are the government defined benefit schemes. You know, they pay fortnightly.
Right.
Or the age pension pays fortnightly. So everybody walks in and goes, pension? By default, they say fortnightly. I'm actually quite surprised to find out that it could be exactly as you said, once a year, once a week, twice a month, and any manifestation that your particular super fund will allow you to have.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly right, you can say, I want to take some money out as a lump sum. That is actually a pension payment.
Right.
You could also have a pension payment that is a regular direct debit into your bank account to meet your ongoing expenses, lifestyle, or to pull out $20,000 to pay for a holiday. That is technically still, it can be treated as a pension account. Now, there are considerations that you would have depending on your value of funds from a strategic standpoint, whether it's a pension or a lump sum, but that's a little bit past today. But the fundamental premise is take your income the way you want, to live the way you want, to meet the living costs and expenses that you have.
So there's really quite a lot of flexibility in how you go about setting it up.
Yeah, look, it can be, and again, it comes down to the individual fund that you have. One of the appealing things about a self-managed super fund that a lot of people like is that the ultimate flexibility is there for you.
I would recommend that anybody in any fund sort of goes out and one of the things you would look to try and consider is, well, what is the frequency and how can I get my money? Because funds will have rules in relation to their ongoing admin, yes. And it could be weekly, fortnightly, monthly, biannually, annually. You just need to check with your existing provider and see what their rules and regs are. And obviously, when you're comparing funds, that's one of the things you'd be considering.
We've said a couple of times now your existing provider. Now, if you don't like what your existing provider offers, can you, in fact, transfer your money from one company to another when you're changing from a superannuation accumulation fund to a pension fund? You can swap over to a different company, a different provider?
Yeah, look, exactly right. So as you accumulate super, you always want to be in a fund that gives you the greatest level of flexibility, access to cost-effective investments.
Ways to manage your franking credits and the way that your income and dividend is generated, because no one's ever come in and said, I want a really bad return and I want to pay really high fees. We normally get, I want everything for nothing, and where can we skin that cat? Yeah. And it's sort of a compromise in the middle, like most things in life, you get what you pay for. If your fund is really, really cheap, you generally have limited investment options, and you may not have access to certain things that you may or may not understand the value of when you're in accumulation or moving into funding yourself in retirement. And we saw the prevalence of franking credits in pensions come to light, obviously, in the last election, because not using franking credits in a pension phase is really robbing yourself of really good income and good ongoing consistency within your account. So
another area that's a little bit complicated, isn't it? Because obviously you can have franking credits from shares that you own directly, but there's also franking credits associated with shares that are owned by your fund.
Exactly. So you could be in a particular investment option that would provide franking credits. You could hold an exchange-traded fund or an ETF, and you'd get the franking credits from those. So it's important to, again, understand when we're looking at pension funds to say, well,
one of my big things to look at is, what are my investment options? Not so much how much is this fund done relevant to its peers, because that's a risk discussion. You know, and we've spoken in other shows that balance doesn't mean balanced.
Right.
So looking at something and saying, well, what does this balance fund do against this balance fund? We use the analogy of saying, well, if this balance fund's driving at 140 kilometres an hour and this balance fund over here is driving at 100 kilometres an hour, it's not fair to compare them because they're not driving at the same speed.
Yeah.
But the general assumption is that the word balance means, oh, well, it must be 50-50. Mm-hmm. When actual fact, when you look under the hood, it could be 85-15, it could be 90-10.
So looking at your investment options is very important because, as you say, you can get franking credits from a range of sources. And if you're in a fund that doesn't let you generate income or pay dividends, or you're in a fund that doesn't let you buy listed shares and control your franking credits, you're really robbing yourself of good, solid income that can help underpin your pension lifestyle when you move into retirement phase. So
there's some key things I'll be looking at. What are my investment options? Can I control my franking credits? Am I able to buy listed shares to control the dividends that I receive? Can I buy specialised managed funds that target certain areas of a sector? So, for example, you could buy a high-yielding Australian equity fund that pays an income distribution at 7.5% or 8% fully franked. Now, if you're in a generic option, you're in the balanced option over here, you probably won't get those full benefits because you won't have that same fund characteristic. So understanding what you can buy is just as important as what the return is in totality, because franking credits can add a huge outperformance and income consistency and limit your need to sell down assets when you're in retirement phase funding lifestyle.
Of course, one of the great features of the pension funds, thanks to Peter Costello, is that,
well, the money you get out of it is tax-free.
Potentially.
Okay.
Correct.
I knew that would be a catch somewhere.
So, again, if we make a general rule, over 60, tax-free.
Okay.
Under 60, maybe not.
Okay.
Okay, so.
So I shouldn't retire just yet.
Well, depends. But again, you're exactly right. One of the big benefits of moving to pension phase is inside the fund,
you no longer pay 15% tax.
Okay.
Huge benefit on your earnings. The other big benefit is it's exempt from capital gains tax up to $1.6 million. That's right. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit later about some strategies people could consider moving into pension phase. But one of the big benefits of starting a pension, and it may be that you start a pension and put the money back into super, But if you've got $1 million in super generating a 5% income stream with franking credits, and you can avoid paying 15% tax, not only will you get a refund of all of your franking credits that you've accumulated, but you're also then limiting the outgoing costs of your portfolio, which means more in your living money every fortnight and less going to the tax man, which is obviously a good thing that most people appreciate.
About it being really flexible, but are there any kind of restrictions or rules about what you can't do?
Yeah, look, so when you do start an income stream, and again, this is where it's really a case-by-case basis, obviously you need to draw at least the minimum for your age.
Okay, so if you're over 55 and under 65, that minimum is 4%, where you're talking about an account-based pension. Okay, so as long as you draw that out over the course of the financial year, you would benefit from the tax-free status that we talked about earlier in relation to income and capital. As you get a little bit older, these accounts are designed to run down. So from 65 to 75, you need to draw a minimum of 5%. Now, that's not to say that you couldn't pay the 5% out and put it back into super.
Oh, right.
Because it may be a way of generating a deductible contribution to offset other taxable income. So it then starts to become a strategic play to say, well, what do I need and where am I at in my working life? Because if you're taking money out of super over 60 and it's tax-free, and you've still got a taxable income because you're contracting or working part-time, you may have a PSS or CSS pension on top. Using a pension strategy like this not only makes your account really efficient, but it lets you throw money back into super and claim a tax deduction for those funds, and all you've done is transferred bank accounts. So you can make this as sexy as you want, but I think the big ticket items for people are: look at your structure, look at your investment options, make sure that you understand why you're starting an income stream, check the payment flexibilities of your provider.
Yes.
When and how can you get the money? Are there family linking discounts with your provider? So you could have a husband and wife. Some providers will actually amalgamate the value of your two total accounts and reduce your admin fees.
Right.
Because most super funds have a sliding scale of admin costs.
Sure.
So that the more you have, the less you pay, which is good. And make sure there's things like super splitting and some of those other broader strategies that they allow you to do, because how you get money into super and the accounts that you use can have a really big impact on the flexibility of your income stream and obviously the investments that you hold to underpin your retirement.
13 to 5 on 2CC Canberra Live until 6 o'clock, and in this half hour I'm joined by Luke Smith from Envision Financial. Today we're talking about comparing pension accounts, and we'll be back with more in just a moment. It's about 10 to 5, news coming up at 5 o'clock on 2CC Canberra Live until 6 o'clock, and between now and 5 o'clock we're talking finance with Luke Smith from Envision Financial. Today we're talking about comparing pension accounts. So Luke, what are some strategy options to consider when we're starting a pension?
So if we've gone through the process of making sure we have, you know, all the tools in the toolbox, as I say to most of the tradies, it's then about saying, well, how can we make a pension really work for us? So one thing people could consider is obviously maximise your non-concessional contributions before you start an income stream. And that just means any money you may have outside, get it into superannuation without claiming a tax deduction, because you can throw in up to $300,000 in one go, and make sure that you have as much of your retirement capital in a tax-free structure, as we said before the break, to maximise your rate of return and obviously limit the outgoings with capital gains and income tax. So that's the first thing I'd stress.
If you're going to restructure your asset base, think about restructuring things in pension phase. So if you've held Commonwealth Bank from $6, and you know it's something that your family is sitting hearing about, because
it was
the best decision you've ever made. That's great. But think about selling them in pension phase, because obviously if you sell them in accumulation, there's capital gains in super. If you sell them in pension phase, there's no tax whatsoever.
So think about restructuring your assets in pension phase, because you can move to pension phase without touching your assets, as we said earlier, and then look to try and restructure things. Because the other thing people also come in and say is, well, I've got older, now I need to be more conservative. And yes, I sort of challenge that thinking, because generally people say, I need a good, strong income stream to fund the way I want to live,
yes,
and I need growth to offset inflation.
Yes.
So having too much in cash and fixed interest could be the analogy of driving 40 in a 100 zone.
Yes.
So if you are going to rejig it for whatever reason, it might be to reduce individual assets or minimise, you know, overexposures to things that have done very, very well, be prudent, take profit, and reset things in pension phase. I'd also review your listed shares and where you hold your shares. If you have things in your own names or in other structures, try and get your listed fully franked shares into your pension account so that you can maximise the franking credit refund.
Think about holding a second pension account if you're going to make a non-concessional contribution. Now, this one could be a little deep for a Friday afternoon, but a non-concessional contribution that goes into super is tax-free, which means it comes out tax-free to you at any age. It also means it goes to non-dependent children tax-free. Now, if you think about the old
money's paid out of super to a non-dependent, so someone over the age of 18 or over 25 and not studying,
right?
Taxable at 17%. Tax-free going in for you, tax-free coming out to non-dependents.
Yeah.
So now we're building in estate planning control and thinking down the line to ultimately the money that we accumulate for our working lives, we'd love to move on to the next generation as efficiently as possible. So if you hold all of your contributions in a separate account, you can lock that pension in tax-free status, and it could grow from $200,000 to $800,000. It's still 100% tax-free.
Wow.
So think about your income streams and think about your taxable and untaxed components of super. Now, that's a little deep for a Friday afternoon, but if you're not sure, give us a ring. Think about transition to retirement. So if you're over 60 and you're working part-time and you want to bolster your cash flow, think about starting a pension. And a transition to retirement pension just means that you can't make those lump sum withdrawals that we talked about before, and you can only take between 4 and 10% of your capital each year.
Okay.
But it's a really good way to fund deductible contributions and minimise your tax if you're still working.
Think about using ETFs to lower your investment costs. You know, 0.3, 0.2, 0.15, 0.25. These sorts of cost-effective funds or structures are good ways to get a spread.
Yep.
And limit your internal cost ratio, which is the fee that you pay for the privilege of investing in a product that someone provides for you.
And for those who weren't paying attention earlier, ETF.
Exchange Traded Fund.
Bingo. All over it. Full marks for you. And obviously, the most underutilised strategy, which we've used a few times this week because there have been some guys out there that have married very, very well, have the younger person super split into the older person's super fund prior to retirement, because if you can bring forward your preservation age, if there's a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 year gap between spouses, obviously moving money into superannuation of the older person would mean that you can get it sooner, which I think is one of the most underutilised strategies that we see. And just by sheer chance, I've had, you know, two or three guys in this week that have married very, very well, and they're going to start splitting the wife's superannuation into their own name and save the wife up to 7 years of time to wait to get her super,
right?
Which can then actually help from a planning perspective, let two people have some time together, because generally one person doesn't want to retire by themselves.
No.
And if you're a lot younger, it's a good way to bring forward capital that you could use to increase the amount of leave without pay or part-time work that you do when the older spouse hits preservation age. So there's some things that you could think about in relation to starting a pension and how you could use them as part of your broader strategy.
Fantastic. So if people would like to get some more information, where should they turn?
Yeah, look, so pop in.
Barb will make a cup of tea or coffee. She's got some pretty good skills there, I was told this week, so she's lived up to her reputation. Obviously, give us a ring, 6260-4749. Doesn't cost anything to come in and just see if what you have is structured correctly. We can undertake an analysis of costs and benefits and make sure you're in the right structure. Obviously, we've got the podcast on iTunes, the Strategy Stack at Luke Talks Money, and we've got the show on YouTube where we take all the key points of today's discussion and we put them in some slides so you can pause it, write down what you need to look for, and then obviously go forward from there. And we've also got the Knowledge Centre on our website, www.envisionfinancial.com.au.
Thanks, Luke. We'll catch you again next week.
Thanks, mate. See ya.